you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, September 4th, 2022, and my guest today are Brandon Collins, Rory Albanese, and Tom George. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, hey.
Hello,
everybody.
let's meet everybody. Let's get past the awkward part, meet everybody individually, starting with our dangling champ, a man who won the games 2 weeks ago. And so now he's back. It's our friend, Brandon Collins. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Doug and everybody. It's great to be back.
You're out in California now, I hear.
Yeah, I'm back in the inferno. I picked the... I just hate it over here so much. It's so hot. I went to Ralph's, which is a grocery store for folks that aren't in this area. I went to Ralph's at 8 a.m. and it was already 91 degrees.
But not inside Ralph's.
Well, no. In Ralph's, yeah. It was 85 degrees, so it wasn't
right. Too bad. A little colder. I went into a Target today. When I walked in, it was the most it was so cold inside. It was so refreshing. But what about, like, it must be drippy, humid, hot in New York right now. You prefer that over California hot?
Yeah. I mean, because in New York, it's like that's expected, but there's nothing better than walking to the subway and then you get on the subway and it's like freezing cold. And all you have to yeah. do is deal with the smell of the homelessness. that's way more preferable than everywhere in California just smelling rancid when it's really hot.
Really? It smells bad? I didn't even
know. Well, I stay in Studio much. City. There's a lot of people seeking shelter.
Yeah. Just pull an orange off a tree, dude, and put it up to your house. We are also joined today by another returning champ, our winner from the last episode, Rory Albanese. Hey, Rory.
Hey, Doug. I didn't know I was going up against another champ today. I would have slept more last night.
It just doesn't get... yeah, you probably would have done more yeah. exercises.
Wouldn't have smoked so much pot last night, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. But just like last week when you won, the questions are still ridiculous.
Right.
So it really is anybody's game. But Brandon really does have a knack for it. He's won a lot of times. And we've got a first-timer today, director of See How They Run in theaters in the U.S. on September 22nd. It's Tom George. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Doc. How are you?
I'm good.
I don't want to start with a correction because this feels like it's very much not my house.
Right, but please.
September 16th. for the movie 16th in the States.
In the US, yeah. 22nd in the UK.
No, 9th in the UK.
Where September did I get 22nd? Where did I get that number?
It's just people are going to miss it if they're banking on a 22nd, you know.
9th.
Yeah.
September 9th, where you are, and September 16th, where we are.
Perfect.
And not to draw any lines in the sand, but could you give us, I know you probably do a lot of interviews about the movie since it's coming out so soon.
Sure.
What's your quick, how do you describe it quickly to people?
See How They Run is a murder mystery. It's also a comedy. It's also a film that's about murder mysteries. It stars Sam Rockwell, Saoirse Ronan. They play detectives investigating a murder in 1950s London, backstage at a very famous murder mystery play that is taking place at the time. So it's a murder mystery within a murder mystery, but really it's like a character comedy.
You had me at all of that. All of that sounds great to me.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, there's nobody more fun than Sam Rockwell out there acting these days, in my opinion. And yeah, that's just sounds super cool.
And yeah, it's cool. And Saoirse Ronan is like, it's people won't have seen her like this before. She's really funny.
I thought she was a great SNL host when she did that.
She was good. The Saoirse Inertia song, I loved all that.
Yeah, yeah. I would have never known how to say her name if I didn't have that song in my head. Well, thank you for being here, and good
Thanks
luck
for
with
having
the movie.
Me.
I know I and I was talking to Brandon about it before we started rolling, and he's excited to see it. And I'll speak for Rory. I'll speak for Rory as well. He can't wait.
No, don't do that. I'm never fucking going to see that. And you know why.
You know what you did, Tom.
He knows what he did. He knows what he
did. I thought we weren't going to bring it up. But
if it was on the 22nd, I would have happily gone. But this whole 16th yeah. mishap really threw me off.
Yeah, there's really yeah. there's some sort of conspiracy going on here with all these with all these numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we begin our game portion today, I like to do a segment called Recommendation Nation, where I ask each of my guests to recommend a movie, but you know, I give you a type of movie and we go from there. So since everybody's celebrating here in the States anyway, it's Labor Day weekend. So I thought it would be a fun topic to discuss workplace films, movies that take place in some sort of work environment. Mm. Brandon, do you have a film that fits that description that you'd like to recommend?
One that immediately comes to mind is this movie called Boiling Point. It's with Stephen Graham. It was released last year. It's a one-shot take film of like these people in this restaurant, and it's completely bonkers. If you like The Bear, that's on FX right now, you absolutely love this movie. I think you have to rent it for like $5.99 or Amazon or something like that, but it's one of the best movies I saw last year.
Oh, so it reminded you of The Bear because it's about like the high pressure world of
yeah, exactly. You're literally immersed in the restaurant for 90 minutes at the beginning of the dinner shift. And as someone who's worked in a few restaurants, it was very accurate as to how like everything's set up, how the staff talks to each other, all that stuff.
All right, Boiling Point. Have you heard of this movie, Rory?
I have not heard of Boiling Point.
I've heard of The Boiler Room with Diesel and Ben Affleck.
The Boiler Room is one of the movies that popped into my head when you said workplace movies.
No, this doesn't have Giovanni Ribisi, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's always a strike against any film.
Okay, Rory, what do you think? Do you have a workplace film in mind?
You know, it's just such an obvious one that I'm trying to think of something a little bit more interesting. But my guess is there's some young people out there who have not seen Office Space, and I just always recommend that movie because I think it's a fun one.
That's the movie that first popped into my head for that. I think I've always enjoyed Office Space and the Office TV shows, both versions, because I've never really, I've seen enough of Office stuff that I get the humor, but I've never really had a, you know, an office job. I would think people that work all, I take it back though. I think people that work all week still love to watch The Office. It's crazy.
Yeah. I love, you know, I'm not one of these like Office Space freaks who thinks it's like, you know, a gospel, but it's a really funny movie. And I do like Mike Judge's movies, but I really love Gary Cole. I think that Gary Cole's character in that movie is just such a home run. The leaning over the desk coffee. It's
called, he's such an underrated comic talent.
Oh yeah. My God, completely underrated comic talent. And he's done so many great movies. He had such a great run in like late 90s, early 2000s of like just killer roles, you know, and he never gets talked about.
Yeah, he's super funny in Talladega Nights. And
there's another movie he's in that I saw once on like HBO called, God, it's got Topher Grace. I think it's Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Yes.
The name of the movie. And he plays his dad, like, Topher Grace's dad or something, and this movie star is coming to his house, and it's a really funny scene where he's sitting on the porch and he's reading Variety because he wants to fit in with this actor who's coming to his house. It's so funny, and he starts saying things like, I heard Disney went buffo for you know, it's very funny.
Trying to use Variety.
Yeah, he's trying to use all the Variety. Yeah, you know, like the Mouse House is upset about, you know, it's really funny.
Hey, listen, I heard you had to ankle our dinner party.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Mike Judge, the Office Space, I almost called it the Office Space. You can't beat that one. But, you know, that's why I'm excited about Boiling Point, because I haven't seen that, so I can check that one out. But anybody who hasn't seen Office Space should definitely see it. And Tom, what do you got for us?
This is going to be like a, you know, not a sort of original shout, I wouldn't have said, but it was kind of influential for me. Would be like Clerks or Clerks, the Kevin Smith film.
The original. Now he's running
the original.
He's like,
yeah, that's true.
On a tour with it.
That film came out when I was about 13 years old, 13, 14, something like that. And my best friend worked at a video shop. And so there was he brought it home one day, and we just hadn't seen anything like it before, I think, in a weird way. Like, it was the sort of apex of, I suppose, that like slacker comedy when nothing really happens, but it's like incredibly dialogue heavy and just, I think all black and white from memory. But yeah, I having then gone on to make a show over here that was like very low on the story, that was a sort of big influence kind of early on for me. So yeah, I love that movie.
All right. I think that's a terrific choice. It really was like such a big deal when that movie came out that a guy, you know, managed to just kind of self-finance and make something that was that funny and felt so real.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to say Office Space, so now I'm like stuck trying to come up with a different one. And, you know,
it's
nothing
funny, Doug, because last week when we had school movies, I was going to say Back to School, and I switched it at the last second to 3 o'clock High because I thought Back to School was too obvious. And then you had Back to School. So, you know, maybe you got to go with a deeper cut.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to stick with Back to School as my favorite Office movie. Because, you know, there's teachers there. That's where they work.
Just go with Working Girl. We all know you want to go with Working Girl.
Working Girl was never my jam. I never understood the popularity of it.
What about Michael J. Fox's Secret of My Success?
Now, there you go. Another movie I didn't get. I was driven crazy by that movie because you can't have Ferris Bueller come out with that bounce bounce song.
Yeah, thank you.
And then do another movie with it. That was practically like the score. That's like if you did a sitcom and you went, it had scene transitions was the music from Seinfeld. Like, it didn't make any sense to hear that.
I agree.
In another movie so soon, too.
I was unbelievable that they did that.
I mean, it is a perfect song for, like, kind of like, you know, to over scenes where people are like sneaking around and doing stuff, but still should only be in one movie. Then I think it was popped up in a few more things, probably mostly TV, but it got so overused. All right. Thank you for your recommendations, guys. And we're going to take our first commercial break for these important messages. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and I feel like at least two out of the three guests today are going to, this game is going to be in their wheelhouse. But everybody, please correct me if I'm wrong. The game is called Xanadu or Xanadon't. I was watching Xanadu the other day, and I realized, you know, again, as I always do whenever I see it, I remember how bad it is and how much I love it. I don't know why I like it so much. A lot of people do, apparently, out there. It's got kind of a cult following these days. And I'm especially thinking about it with the passing of Olivia Newton-John. I went back and watched a bunch of it. So here's how this game works. All of the responses are either Xanadu or Xanadon't, which translates to true or false. I will start with Brandon. I will tell you a fun or not so fun fact, and then you tell me if it's a Xanadu or a Xanadon't.
All right.
True or false. This there's not like three options here. There's only two. So when somebody misses one, the next player gets the next one, and so you get them individually, and if you miss it, we move on to the next one. Starting, like I said, with Brandon, but real quick, Tom, do you have any feelings about the film Xanadu?
Zero feelings at all. Never seen it. So
you
I'm
never
guessing.
Seen it.
So I'm guessing that you weren't thinking of me as one
by
of
the way,
two who this
Tom,
was going to be my wheelhouse.
I'm with you. I may have seen Xanadu once, like 30 years ago. So it's going to
well,
be.
Well, I thought it might have worked for the two of you just in terms of like it being at least in a time of your life where you might have nothing better to do than to watch it.
Yeah, I think that did happen.
You know,
the annoying thing, Doug, was that the one thing I did know about Xanadu was Olivia Newton-John. And now, based on your intro, I'm sort of guessing that that's probably not going to be one of the answers. And so that puts me very much.
Me too. That was one of my go-tos.
Did anybody see the concert at Wembley yesterday for Taylor Hawkins, the tribute?
Yeah, that bit where his son came on and drummed with them was just
unbelievable. So I was emotional through that whole thing. Dave Grohl's daughter shows up. Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang, plays Hot for Teacher. I was like, I'd never imagined I'd be emotional listening to Hot for Teacher. But it was just so cool that Eddie Van Halen's son can fucking play like that, you know, can play like his dad, just come out there and do it. It was amazing. Anyway, And Taylor Hawkins' kid is young and could beat the shit out of him.
What, 15, 16? And he, what a drummer.
Yeah,
and just
terrific.
To come on in front of however many people and just play like that. It was just, it was the, I came up filming music. I used to film a lot of live music. And that was the most emotional I've ever been watching a concert. Like
just
on,
every
on TV,
single
like a film every, concert, you know.
Yeah, even stuff that had nothing to do with Taylor Hawkins specifically, like Niles Rogers doing several David Bowie songs towards the beginning of the concert.
Yeah,
I found that moving. Like everything was great in
it was
that
just
whole concert.
Charged, yeah, very cool.
The dude, the lead singer from AC/DC coming out, still powering through Back in Black, even though you can see that it's hard to sing. It's just an amazing show. But anyway, I brought it up because all of that amazingness happened with a drum kit that had Olivia Newton-John's face from Xanadu on it.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be a question either.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Here we go, Brandon.
Oh boy.
Okay. True or false? Xanadu, Xanadu. Xanadu was Gene Kelly's last acting job.
I'm going to go with Xana don't.
Well, guess what, Brandon? That is correct, because he's managed to squeak in a couple episodes of The Love Boat before passing or retiring or passing, whichever happened first. All right. Brandon's on the board. Rory, it's your turn.
All right.
Okay. Roger Ebert said in his review of Xanadu, it was like a shit took a shit.
I'm going to say Xanadu don't to that.
I think that's a reasonable guess. That is correct. I mean, that's pretty harsh review. I didn't, people, I know, it wasn't well received by critics. Yeah. Come on.
Feels more like Siskel than Ebert was, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
While making the film, Olivia Newton-John fractured her coccyx.
I'm going to say Xanadu.
You guys are killing this. That is also correct.
Oh.
I swear you must have seen Xanadu a bunch of times, because how else would you know?
I didn't mention, I watched the behind the scenes feature.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, you didn't watch the movie. He just read the book of the movie.
Okay. We're back to Brandon. Okay. Coccyx is spelled COXXYX.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. Coccyx is spelled COXXYX.
I'm going to go with Xana don't.
I can't fool you guys.
No, it's too many X's. Too many consonants.
Yeah, there was a lot of X's in
that. It's pretty close.
You can't have four consonants like that. Can't think.
It's pretty. The real spelling is pretty wild. I'll tell it to you if I knew it. Okay, we're back to Rory. Inspired the creation of the Razzie Awards.
Feels a little early for the Razzies. I'm going to say Xana don't.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's incorrect. The Razzies were thought of when they realized that Hollywood could make a movie that bad with that big of a budget and amazing music. Electric Light Orchestra wrote some great songs.
I know. I'm a big ELO guy.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. Well, but you're still in this, Rory.
Mm-hmm.
You're still on the call. Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Xanadu or Xanadu? Gene Kelly, back to Gene Kelly, the great Gene Kelly, once played a character named Pinky Benson.
Oh. I'm going to say Xanadon on that one.
Sorry, but of course he played a character named Pinky Benson, and it's one of my proudest moments. It's in a film called What a Way to Go. That is very entertaining. If you've
it's one of your, it's one of your proudest moments because you share the same last name as Pinky.
Yeah, and but also just I would never go by a name like Pinky, but just hearing characters refer to a Pinky Benson makes me happy. And it's a crazy ass movie because it's the story of Shirley MacLaine. During the course of the film, marries Dick Van Dyke, Gene Kelly, Paul Newman. Stop me if any of these don't ring a bell. And who's the fourth one? Now I can't think of the fourth one. But anyway, she marries all these dudes over the course of the film. And the joke of the movie is every guy she marries is rich and then dies. And then she gets their money. So she just keeps getting richer as each of these famous actors who plays her husbands dies in really crazy weird ways.
Oh, that sounds like a fun movie.
It's so weird and fun. Like you won't, you'll be stunned at every turn by how weird and fun it is. And it's called What a Way to Go. But now back to Xanadu in this very exciting competition. Brandon can sew up this game if he gets the following one correctly. A featured band that performs in the film is called The Loops.
The Loops?
Have you ever seen Xanadu, Brandon?
I have not.
This is amazing that I picked three guests.
I'm just going to go with Xanadon't. I don't know.
Never.
What the
Xanadon?
Never heard.
No, okay. I'm sorry. Apologies. I get the sound effects wrong sometimes.
Oh.
yeah, because you said don't, and you're correct, because there isn't a band called The Loops in the film, but I hope somebody had kind of had a vague idea that The Tubes were featured in the movie, because then I could have tricked you, but it's hard to trick people when they don't even know what the hell you're talking about. congratulations, Brando.
Is this movie worth checking out, Doug? Like, it doesn't sound very appealing even from this trivia, but...
The Xanadu?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is it's kind of surprising how terrible it is. Like, the lead actor in it is this guy named Michael Beck. He was also in a movie called The Warriors. And I don't know how he landed this role, because it is the most wooden lead performance in a major motion picture that I could probably think of, other than other parts played by that same guy. So that part of it is strange that he's so terrible. But then Olivia Newton-John's cute and can sing and dance. And Gene Kelly obviously can sing and dance and roller skate. And it's about roller disco. It's just it's just an absolute mess. But people find it a fascinating mess. If you just go start reading about it on the internet, a lot of people are somewhat obsessed with it. And then the final one that I had written that we don't need to get to because Brandon ran away with this thing is I wrote director Robert Greenwald's next movie was Endless Love starring Brooke Shields, another kind of famously trashed movie. But that was a Xanadon't because it was directed by Franco Zeffirelli.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the tiebreaker, if there was a tie amongst any of you, I was going to say closest without going over Xanadu's running time. And again, you're all just in the dark about how long it was. How long would you guess it is without knowing anything about it, Brandon?
Probably because this is like 1980 something, right?
Mm-hmm. Early 80s.
I would say probably like around 98 minutes or so. A little over an hour and a half.
I'm not even gonna ask Rory and Tom because it's an hour and 36 minutes long.
Oh my god.
Which is short for a musical.
For 80 movies though.
Yeah, but it's short for a musical, but it's long for that one. All right. Congratulations, Brando. Tom, Rory, all Brandon wins. I call him Brando sometimes. All Brandon wins is he gets to go first in our next game that we will play right after these messages. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and I'm very excited about our second and final game that we're going to play today, the one that determines our winner. How do you fellas feel about, let me just check your temperature, since nobody saw Xanadu, I got to double check and see, have any of you seen Jaws?
Yes.
Yeah, that made it over here.
I'm answering for all of us. We've all seen Jaws.
You mean the that Gene Kelly shark picture?
Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that Jaws made it over the pond.
Yeah, made it over. Limited release, but kind of then picked up on VHS and it was a big hit after that.
It just came out in England like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Is it a scary movie over there, or do you just sit there thinking, I'm not at that beach?
Yeah, I think we don't have those. What's that? What are they worried about the sea?
There's no fucking shark in the Thames. What are we doing here?
It's a scary movie. It is a scary movie. It crops up in like horror film lists pretty regularly, mm-hmm. which I always find a bit weird. Yeah. But I mean, it's obviously like, it's built that way, I suppose. But uh-huh. it's not what you immediately think of when you think of the horror genre, is it really?
Well, it's right up there with the people arguing about whether it's horror or not. It's right up there with whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Which it's just like, absolutely is.
Which it is.
Right.
Doug, and by the way.
You could also argue that it's not about Christmas. And then, okay, great. So we've both made our points. Why do we need to have this discussion?
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to throw a real fucking curveball earlier into this show, which was when you said an office movie. I was almost going to say Die Hard because fuck it is also an office movie.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if we want to put it in another genre, that is a work party.
I would
party.
Take that. That is a enough. Work, but I
that is a work that. Party that he's at is a work Definitely. Party. Yeah,
yeah, and they're in the office the entire movie.
The entire movie. Yeah,
yeah. It's just not a great situation. It's the opposite of office party.
I wouldn't call it a great office Christmas party, but it is an office Christmas party.
Hey, it's got Al Rickman there, though, so that's pretty fun, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it's got cocaine and bathroom sex that the terrorists interrupt.
Right.
The so-called terrorists. I've said too much. All right, so Jaws... I brought it up because it's back in theaters in IMAX this weekend. So I think I might actually go check it out see it for the millionth time. And I thought it would be fun in honor of that occurrence to play a game with the movies of Steven Spielberg. So we're going from Xanadu to something everybody, all film lovers should be very familiar with. Is Steven Spielberg movies. And what we're going to do with those movies is play F, Marry, Kill. Great. I will tell you the name of a Spielberg movie, and then each of you will get one guess as to whether or not a poll on Twitter yielded the highest number for fuck, marry, or kill of a particular Steven Spielberg film. You'll each, since the person who goes first gets to pick from three options, and then the options lessen as we go forward, each of you will get a round where you get to go first. And of course, Brandon will get to go first if there's a tiebreaker because he won the first game.
What would you say the context is for fucking Mary here, Doug? It's like a buzz, but I don't, it's a rush, but I'm not sort of in for the long haul, I suppose. Is that what we're saying? But or you're going to rewatch it? Is that the sort
I don't.
Of, is that a marriage?
I feel like you're defining it as we go, because I never put anything on it other than I named the Spielberg movie and told people to pick one of the three things. I didn't give them anything else to go on. So you're in the same position they're in. In that, what does it mean to F a movie or marry it or kill it? But I agree with you that I feel like kill means get it out of my life altogether. Marry means you know, live with it. And F it means, you know, it's probably good once. But that's just my take.
Got it. That is Brandon. Clear. That's as clear as it's going to be.
that's as clear as this dumb game's going to get. Okay. Brandon, let's go ahead and start off with Jaws. What do you think? Do you think in a poll on Twitter? That's the other thing to keep in mind is people answer polls. They're disingenuous when they answer.
Yeah, that's the thing. I never do good on these ones because I go for the logical choice, and then you're like, nope, these people are insane online.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think these insane people say about Jaws? Would they rather F it, marry it, or kill it?
I would hope they would say marry it.
Right, because it's a great movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna go and marry it. Like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I love your attitude, Rory. Oh, sorry, pardon me. Let's go to Tom. Tom,
what? So I can pick one of what's left.
Yes.
Well,
so you get F.
No,
or
you can
kill.
Pick. You can pick the same. Oh, you can't. Oh, pick
can
this.
I pick? No.
Not in this game. No.
Well. You can't want to kill it. That would be insane. So I guess, in given the fact that I can't say marry F it, yeah. At the very least, you're going to F Jaws, right?
Yeah. Okay. And that leaves Rory with kill it.
But I pick marry. I know I have kill, but I'm picking marry.
But that's what's fun about this game is that you lose points if you go with Mary because only 30% of people polled picked Mary. So that's how many points Brandon has, 30. And then 31% said they wanted to kill it.
What?
I assume they're meaning the shark itself, you know?
Okay.
You wouldn't want to F or marry a shark. But, you know, again, I didn't put any more context other than just asking them to pick one for Jaws.
It's like when you test your movie and you ask them what character, well, they thought the different characters and they always hate the bad guy. And you're like, yeah, but was that because of the performance or you just hated the bad guy? Because if so, that's good.
And sometimes the performance is so good that you know, that they really do think they hate the actor. Because the character's so annoying or evil or whatever it is, but it's just good work on their part.
We're just swimming in unseen biases. I don't know how we're supposed to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, this is bonkers. I've lost faith in cinema Twitter.
So the people who want to F it, which I guess is because they love it, is 39%. So Tom, wow. You are in the lead so far. Because you want, I'm not going to go on the record and say Tom George wants to F Jaws, but it certainly worked out in your behalf to say that here. Tom, you get to go first in our second round.
Okay.
Unless anybody has anything more they want to say about Jaws, because I can talk about Jaws all day.
I just want to say I'm so disappointed in your audience's answer to this. I mean, I get like they could go with fuck because they love it so much, but. We got to marry this thing. We got to keep it forever. Like, this is one of the best.
I mean, how can a movie that's still talked about 45 years later
it's crazy.
And is back in the theaters be a fuck it movie? I mean, it's crazy. This is crazy.
Really, we should just quit. Let's just quit.
I'm having a hard time. I'm going to go see if there's roof access at this hotel and decide what I want to do here.
You know, you don't even have to jump. You can just burn to death.
That's right. I'll just stand on the roof
for 20 minutes. Yeah. Hotel until you're dead. Don't have to leave a mess for anybody. All right. So, yeah, Jaws is just an amazing movie. So I guess that's why they want to F it. But It's you never know, and believe me, these get weirder than this one. So, Tom, you're first on this round.
Okay.
I mean, the one that started a series is now finally going to make it to a fifth installment. What do you think people said when asked about Raiders of the Lost Ark? Sometimes now referred to as Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I don't think that is necessary. We know Indiana Jones is in that movie, and we also know that the other movies aren't as good.
That's true.
I like Temple of Doom more, but that's just because it's crazier.
Yeah, there's all the voodoo. Sure.
Yeah.
There's the fun.
I like when a guy's heart gets pulled out of his chest and they have to create a new movie rating because of it.
Okay. Well, obviously now I feel like we've got some insight now into the sort of the jury, the way the voters' minds work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really helping me, but I'm having to factor that in real time.
Hence, sure.
The delay. Well, it's another film that they should really love, and so the audience on Twitter probably want to fuck it. I'm going to say.
Okay. I mean, that's a reasonable assessment as far as I'm concerned. Rory?
I'm going to go with marrying Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. Just, you know, probably a quiet ceremony with just a few friends.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be a big thing.
Yeah. And you have to close your eyes because, you know, when they open up the ark at the end of the ceremony, most people melt or explode.
Well, because they keep the rings in the ark, which is always a mistake.
Stupid place to leave the ring.
Yeah.
And then nobody pays attention when you say,
That's my favorite thing of that whole movie is it's like the way they get out of it is just by closing their eyes. You know? It's just like they wrote themselves into a corner. They're like, hold on a minute. I've got a way
look
out
at
of
it. These other people are going to look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bunch of idiots. Okay.
Idiots.
So Brandon, that leaves you with, wait, what are you going to do to it?
I'm going to kill it, I believe, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I was going to choose that one anyway, because I feel like your audience has just gone completely off the reservation. So I imagine that they might, like, you know, want to kill it because there are some, you know, problematic themes in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I think we're a little bit more sensitive. So
people want to cancel this movie. Film Twitter hates sort of cultural appropriation and the removal of relics from their sort of homeland.
I think, yes. And a big issue in that movie is they had a lot of non-Nazis playing Nazis, which just isn't right, you know, because it's so hard for Nazi actors to get work.
Yeah, and it was a great opportunity to kill some Nazis because they die at the end. At the very least, punch a few. That movie and Temple of Doom has some of the loudest punches ever recorded. Like Indiana Jones has a harder fist than the Hulk, I think.
Do they have do they have ILM doing the fucking sound effects in that? They got it.
Yeah, it's so loud. Okay, we got to break down these scores here because you're not going to believe this shit. Turns out they came to their senses with Raiders and not too many people want to kill it. That only got 12% of the vote. 41% want to marry it.
Yeah.
And Tom, you really figured out this puzzle. You got the 47 points because of all the people that want to F it.
Hey, Doug, can you start doing your surveys on Truth Social? I feel like it's more accurate.
I do think I would get a different...
I would like to know the difference in these surveys.
Over on Truth Social, the answer every time would be, I don't go see those woke movies.
Right. All they say, is Kirk Cameron in that?
That's the great thing about Kirk Cameron, though, is he doesn't even have a big following amongst the people who should be into what he's doing.
That's fair.
You know? It's strange.
I mean, okay. Should, yeah. What's that? I was just going to say, Kirk Cameron, like, if you watch him do interviews, you get why he doesn't have a following. He has a personality of a fingerprint on glass. It's not engaging.
He's not, he's not like, you know, somebody like, I don't know, like Joel Osteen or something where the, you know, there's at least, I don't see it personally, but I can see where people get caught up in whatever charisma he happens to have.
Is that why you do this at 2 o'clock on Sunday so you can finish Joel Osteen?
I watch Meet the Press.
And then Olsen.
Then I meet the Lord. And that's usually followed by...
And then it's time for the show.
I follow that with a little meth.
Nice little Sunday. Yeah, nice little Sunday.
It's a great Sunday. I know how to have fun on a Sunday. I don't like get that expression Sunday fun day, you know, because it's the easiest day of the week to have fun. Just right there. Okay. I'm not going to tell you what the scores are all added up because you're all still pretty close together. And we've got one more round before I have to determine what everybody's scores are. Rory gets to go first this time. Then Brandon, then Tom. And we're going to talk about another Spielberg classic, E.T. Did you know that E.T. one? Did you know that one?
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
I haven't seen E.T. in a long time, and I just don't know if I saw it again, if the magic would be gone, or if I'd still love it.
I think I saw E.T. in the theater as a kid.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Yeah, and I saw it enough that it's ingrained in my, I can picture every scene. So when the scenes happen, I'll be like, yeah, I know this already. So I just don't know, but I don't know if the overall feel of it.
That's why, well, just so you know, everything you're saying about it is the reason I'm going with Kill on E.T. Kill.
Oh, did I help you?
Well, no, it's just I feel the same way about E.T. Like, I don't feel like it's a movie that if it's on, you know, like Jaws, if Jaws is on, like, even if it's just on like cable, like if I turn on the TV and Jaws is on like TNT or something, like, I just watch it. It's Jaws, you know, same with Raiders of the Lost Ark. E.T. Nah, it's a kill for me.
It's a bit unsettling. It's an unsettling family drama for sure.
Yeah. And you know, they went back and removed the guns and made them walkie talkies.
Oh, yeah. Really? But I think they undid that. I think they fixed it again.
They did. Okay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think they fixed it. And, you know, and also, yeah, it was also, I mean, it was just weird, how the movie just becomes about how the government would squash any joy that comes from another world, you know, like,
totally.
So it definitely, even as a kid, I, you know, the whole part where E.T. almost dies is just rather drawn out and like, so what, you know, like we know he doesn't die.
Yeah, it's like they really needed to save some production value in the tent bit, wasn't it? When they're in those sort of hazmat tents, biosecure tents, it's like, God, do we need another scene here? Yeah, because we've got to pay for the bike flying and all that.
About time people really piled on E.T.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Pointed out what a piece of garbage it is.
Alert the affiliates while we're going long. We got more shit to fucking say.
I felt that Spielberg and Lucas were like getting into an area where I would stop enjoying their work as much when a character in E.T. plays with Star Wars action figures. It's just too like, what universe is what here? Because then E.T. appears as an alien being in the Star Wars prequels. You know, in those scenes where they have the council or whatever, there's a bunch of E.T. looking.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mother effer. So the whole timeline and the existence of E.T. and what he really is and what Star Wars characters really are, all of it is very confused at this point. if you want to be confused, or you could just look the other way. Brandon?
Yeah, so...
what do you think?
I'm going to go with Mary because I'm a comedian and I believe in the rule of three. So I'm going to set up Tom with a 3-4 with a fuck.
I appreciate
that. Oh, that's so nice of you.
But it's also possible some people legit want to marry E.T. because, you know, people are freaky. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really feel like we still haven't tied down what these three mean. But yeah, so that leaves.
Yeah, so you're stuck with F.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really paid off of you for you twice in a row. And this is where this is where they turn, because the lowest amount of votes went to F-E-T.
Yeah.
People don't want to do that, apparently. only 21 people want to F-E-T, and they should probably be put on a watch list. You know, at least, you know, get married first, I say. Just marry E.T. first before you have sex. And the Mary came in a little higher at 29, but 50% of the people want to kill E.T.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
So let me add up the scores really quick.
I will say about effing E.T. in E.T.'s defense, you have no idea what that light up finger is capable of. So it could be, you know, incredible. You don't really know.
I would imagine it would be, to be honest.
Man, I just remember E.T. when E.T. was like sick and he was all pale and screaming. That haunted me for years.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, he just, when he's, you know, there's that whole thing.
That was
thing
in the long
almost
biosecure tent bit.
Yeah, he gets really sickly and sad. And then, you know, but then the power of love brings him back. I always thought it'd be funny if E.T. kept saying phone home because he just wanted to call them and say, hey, I like it here better. Peace out.
Yeah.
You know, just wanted to touch base with them. I don't really want to go back there. Bit of a misunderstanding, but I've added up the totals and I'm shocked by these numbers, but Brandon is in third place with 71 points. Tom got 107, and our winner again today,
how is that possible,
is Rory Albanese with 122 points. You nailed it.
How is that possible, though? Brandon got like all of them.
Well, you got number one with the Kill E.T., and you got number two with Mary Raiders, and you got number two with Kill Jaws. So you were like, your averages were pretty good. Yeah, but Tom was really killing it with the effing everything, and then E.T. went. E.T. ruined that.
Tom's just effing everything out there, man. Yeah. He can't stop.
Freaking E.T. So
what's the logic? I just don't get it. Like, people are repulsed by fucking E.T., but they'll fuck a shark. What? It's the
It was bonkers. I mean, that's why hard to do games. So congrats, Rory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. These rules are fundamentally flawed, but I'll take the win.
Do you ever watch Family Feud?
Yes. Yeah. It's got a very Family Feud level of.
You see real quick. You see real quick what people think is a clever answer to these questions. But just for fun, because I did the work. I did a poll. For Jurassic Park. So does anybody have any feelings about what way they think that would go?
I mean, if that's not Mary, I will lose my mind.
Original Jurassic Park?
Yeah, OG Jurassic Park. I don't about Jurassic World in any context ever.
Gotta be Mary.
It has to be.
You think?
If it's not, Doug, I don't want to play this game ever again.
Okay, well, chances are you won't anyway, because, you know, I haven't dragged this one out. This is only the second time I've ever played it, and it doesn't really make sense.
Oh, no, I meant your show, Doug. I meant itself. I will not do it.
Jurassic Park got 40% of the respondents saying they want to F it. And 34 want to marry it, and 26 want to kill it.
Wow.
So, yeah, another strange set of numbers. But I guess in this case, the F it feels more like because they love it. Or they're confusing it with Jurassic World and they're mad at it. Because if anybody saw the most recent Jurassic World, I feel like it's not happy about it.
Nope.
And then Brandon steps in as that example. You saw it?
I saw it twice, unfortunately. And the only worst Jurassic Park film besides Dominion was the one before that. So I've had two stinkers in one of my favorite franchises ever. And so
I can't believe Dominion didn't turn out great, considering they named it after voting machines. What an exciting word to put in a title. Okay. Rory Albanese, you get to promote yourself first because you won today. What would you like to?
I'm going
to
promote myself for which makes no sense because I don't know when this airs, but I'm in Las Vegas right now.
It airs tonight, so they can't come see you tonight.
Sneak out, everybody. If you're in Vegas listening to this, you can still make it.
You're listening to it live somehow. If you're my neighbor and you're listening. But what else? I mean, she got the one show in Vegas tonight, and then you don't do a show tomorrow night?
No, there's just the one tonight. I don't really have any other things to
unfortunately,
plug.
Unfortunately, we can't.
But, really plug that, but aren't I coming back now that I'm a champion? So I'll have something else to plug.
Yeah,
now.
You can come up with something else.
I'll yield my plug time to these guys. I would like to yield the remainder of my plug time.
Yeah. Just like on that Zoom call in the beginning of the pandemic, though, you should say, I yield my time. Fuck the police. Or what were they saying? They were telling the people running the Zoom call in the LA City Council. People kept saying they'd go, that's my time. Fuck you. Like they throw in an expletive right before they hung up and people just kept saying it on this Zoom call. And you just get to watch these city officials just sit there and have to take it.
They're like, oh, yeah.
Weirdest thing. Okay, so Tom George, terrific first-time guest. I hope you had fun.
I loved it. This was great.
Oh, good. Give them all the correct dates now as we end the show for the release dates for See How They Run.
See How They Run is in cinemas 9th of September in the UK and the 16th of September in the US. It stars Saoirse Ronan, Sam Rockwell, Adrian Brody, David Oyelowo, and a whole bunch of amazing British comic actors. It's a whodunit for fans of a whodunit, but also for people who wouldn't usually go see a whodunit. So, get out. And it's the perfect film to see back in theaters. It's like made to see with groups of people and laugh out loud with a big audience. So go see it on either the 9th or the 16th of September, depending on your
Sounds like a real Marriott kind of film.
Well, I mean, if we knew what that meant, I would say yes.
There was a lady in some part of the U.S. who was able, through some sort of legal loophole or something, she's legally married to a roller coaster.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I hope it's a metal one, you know, because if it's a wooden one, this, you know, they can't really consummate their relationship. Because
did anyone make the hacky joke about how relationships do have their ups and downs?
Ups and downs, yeah. No, I go for the splinter sex jokes is where I go.
Okay.
See it on those, wherever you can see it. If you could see it earlier in the UK, please reach out to the Doug Loves Movies Twitter account and without any spoilers, tell us, you know, how much you loved it. And, Everybody that's listening, if you see the movie, tell me about it. Positive stuff only.
Yeah, thank you. Caveat.
Yeah, I don't need to mess around with them. There's no reason. Brandon Collins.
Hey, besides checking out Tom's film, which I've been looking forward to, I've heard good things, you all can follow me at American Collins and all social media platforms, americancollins.com. And if you like my comments on movies, you can listen to my movie review podcast, Medium Popcorn. That's available on all public podcast applications. Thanks again for having me on, Doug.
Always a pleasure. Doug plugs. This particular show will be at Dynasty Typewriter on Saturday, September 17th at 4:20 in Los Angeles. And then we're doing it at the Punchline in San Francisco on October 15th at 4:20. Yeah, this has been a terrific episode. And I end every episode of the show lately with a quote from a movie. I say, as always, and then, you know, what is often a very mundane line from the end of a movie. But it's none of you will guess this one because I chose the final line from Xanadu. And you're not going to believe what a classic. I mean, you're just going to want to see Xanadu when you hear me say the last line of the film. But before I do that, thank you one more time to Brandon Collins, Rory Albanese, and Tom George. As always, I mean, I'd just like to talk to you.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in